Peter, what are you doing?
Crack.
What the f-
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. It's been a while, but we're back, and the narrative is dead. The day the narrative died. Before we get into Giants quarterback news, should we just for a few minutes?
All fucking every day for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, don't act annoyed. Well, I got a few bones to pick with you. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. I forgot the Twitters, but that's okay. All right. Matthew Stafford going back to the Los Angeles Rams. Giants injury. Yes. Aaron Rodgers rumored to be next up on the block for the New York Giants. Rumors that they may trade with the Titans. I don't believe that, but we're here to talk about it. We're here to talk about everything. So, Weiss.
Ethan.
Go ahead.
This is a blessing for the Giants.
It is not.
This has nothing to do. So let me start this with first of all, I love Matthew Stafford.
Absolutely
love Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford is still one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL, probably the third or fourth or second best quarterback in the NFC. I don't care where you rank him. My point is he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. The problem is he is so great, but the Giants are so bad.
The problem is he's too good. Okay.
No, he is so great. That's not the problem. The problem is that the Giants are so freaking bad and that they are one of the few teams in the NFL right now where if you plug in Matthew Stafford, age 37, with a 2-year window, your ceiling is not anywhere near the NFC championship game. You're a borderline playoff team. And that's not Matthew Stafford's fault. That's the Giants' fault. And that's why I was totally against this. No. Wasn't even about the money. He's worth $50 million.
He's worth more.
Yeah, he's worth, I agree with you, he's worth more.
Dan Duggan just put out a tweet that the numbers that were being thrown around by his camp during these negotiations was 55 a year. And yeah, Dan Duggan's exact quote was that teams didn't bat an eye. And that is the market for top 10 quarterbacks.
And the team that gave
would probably be the second best quarterback in the entire NFC had he come.
You're 100%. I'm not disputing any of that. He's worth $55 million. He's worth $100 million guaranteed, even at age 37. The problem is him coming to this organization with this head coach coaching the team and this general manager building the team, the ceiling was not what it should be for a team that's quarterback is Matthew Stafford. And that's why it didn't work.
Well, I think you're wrong against it. And I'm happy to outline my argument in favor of the trade. Not that any of this matters anymore, but sure. I feel like it's worth putting out there. We're talking about a league in which basically half the teams now are making the playoffs. 14 teams making the playoffs. Of the 14 teams that made the playoffs this past year, 5 had 10 wins. All right. Not a particularly high bar. The Giants this past year, one of the worst seasons with a roster we all acknowledge was bad.
The owner said it was bad.
Had 8 total losses, 1 score or fewer.
Yeah, we know.
They had 9.
He told us that when he was saving his job in those
press. Yeah, that's fine. 8 total losses by a score or less. 9, if you want to throw in the Bengals game where they only put up 7 points and only gave up 17. All right, I'm going to go through those real quick. Week 1, they lost by 3 with a quarterback throwing for only 178 yards and 2 touchdowns. Week 3, they lost by 5 with a quarterback who threw for 281 yards and 0 touchdowns. Week 5, lost by 10. This is the Bengals game with a quarterback who only threw for 205 yards, no touchdowns. Week 8, lost by 8, quarterback threw for 265 yards, no touchdowns. Week 9, lose by 5, quarterback only threw for 174 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week 10, lose by 3, quarterback threw for 190 yards, 0 touchdowns. Week 13, lose by 7, quarterback threw for 178 yards, 0 touchdowns again. Week 14, lose by 3, quarterback threw for 219 yards, only 1 touchdown. Week 18, lose by 7, quarterback threw for 138 yards and 1 touchdown. That's basically an average passing yards per game of 200 yards, a tick over, and an average touchdown passes per game of 0.75. That is probably the least productive quarterback room we've seen in how long. It's embarrassing. And I'm sorry for a team, if you were to just have put Matthew Stafford there, they're 5-1 going into the week 7 game against the Eagles. They easily get to 9 wins, probably 10. All right. Now you're talking about.
And then what?
Okay. But, and then what in the NFC, which is weak, we both acknowledge that Matt Stafford is probably the second best quarterback in the NFC. Now you made a point that I agree with, that it was the smartest decision was for him to stay where he was. You keep your family there. You have a familiarity with the system, a coach that you vibe with, a young defense. It made sense. You go to the Raiders, which was allegedly the second choice in this whole mess, easily the worst choice he could have made. Like, hey, I'm 37, and now I'm going to go to a division where 6 times a year I've got to play Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and a John Harbaugh defense, and then the Broncos defense. Like, that was moronic, and I never understood why, outside of the fact that Nevada has no state income tax, he would want to go there. So, in my eyes,
as opposed to coming to the Giants and facing the two teams that were in the NFC Championship game last year.
The team that he almost beat. With Matthew Stafford this past season,
well, let's talk about that game.
Giants are better than the Cowboys, and they're better.
Time out. Let's talk about that playoff game, because everyone talks about his one throw away from a touchdown. How many times did they sack Jalen Hurts in that game? How many times did the Rams defense sack Jalen Hurts in that game?
No one's comparing the two rosters.
But that's the
right
problem
now.
Here. You should be.
Because with the roster that we're looking at right now, we're talking about 8 games in which, if Matthew Stafford started those 8 games, they win a majority of them, regardless of how bad the roster is. Going into free agency, where you're going to improve the roster, and you have the 3rd overall pick, you're going to have it probably, like, let's just say they were to give up their 2nd round pick in the trade, you have your 3rd pick. You're not giving up your 26 first, right? And God forbid it doesn't work. Then, oh no, a new regime coming in that's going to want to draft a rookie quarterback is going to have to deal with 1 or 2 years of a bad cap.
It's not about it's not working. It's about the back end. Where are you 2 years from now? Let's say you have this 2-year run where you're winning 9-10 games. 2 years from now, Matthew Stafford retires. Then what? Then you're picking 17th, 18th. Where are you? You know, you
just, where are we now?
I agree. My point is, and this is where the ceiling and the floor.
No. Here's the problem where I have, and then I'll let you go. I'm fine because I think that you acknowledge that Matthew Stafford's that good. But it is because I believe that he is good enough to elevate this team and roster as constructed, undoubtedly, to the playoffs. To win the division, I don't know. But we're talking about a league in which 14 teams making the playoffs, all right? I think with Matthew Stafford, they are one of the 7 best teams in the NFC. They are making the playoffs. And as we know, you just have to get in. The second point that I'll make is that at some point, you need competent quarterback play, because you're going to be wasting the development and the prime of a lot of the players that they've drafted over the last 4 years, okay? That's important, and it's an aspect of this that people aren't talking about. And the last thing that I'll say, I don't even remember what my last point was, but like now I remember. The difference here is you are more optimistic about the Shedeur Sanders and the Cam Wards. I think they stink. If you are anti-trading for Matt Stafford, I'd rather all you people who disagree with me, just be honest with yourself and wish and say basically what you're wishing for is a repeat of last year. You want the team to suck. You want them to tank for a quarterback class that's going to be better than this one. And you want the regime fired. Because Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, hell, even Aaron Rodgers, who I'm a fan of, you're going to have a middling team. You're not going to win 3 or 4 games, but you're not going to make the playoffs. So what are we doing? Either draft the quarterback with an ownership that is probably not going to move on from them, although that would be, you know, best case scenario if you only win 2 or 3 games, or just suck. Like, you can't tell me that Matthew Stafford doesn't get you far enough and that's why you don't want him, and then say, okay, but like Jameis Winston will win you 6 or 7 games and you're not going to be in contention for a top quarterback. That doesn't add up in my brain.
No, I when I opened with my original statement with Stafford, I didn't mention anything about the Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
No, I'm saying that as someone who've had conversations higher on them than me.
And I think they're worthy of being drafted third, first, second, and third. But my point with Stafford is always this, right? It's not about how great Stafford is. I know he's great because if you plug him into a 3-14 team, they are a borderline playoff team in the NFC.
Look at the Rams year over year, 2 years ago versus last year, where he wasn't healthy 2 years ago. And last year, they were a good game away from going to the NFC title game.
I also think they have one of the better young rosters in the NFL right now.
Okay, but 2 years ago, that defense was buns.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they traded Jalen Ramsey in season, how bad they were.
That's why Les Snead and Sean McVay matter in this situation, because they've built a good roster. See, if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll had built a good roster and they had coached up these young players that they drafted over the last few years like the Rams did, I wouldn't be sitting here saying that I'm against this.
But that's but that goes to my point about why that development is important. We're not sitting here having this exact same conversation about how bad the roster is if they just came off a season of 9 or 10 wins, either were borderline playoffs or made the playoffs with a quarterback like Stafford. That conversation is straight up not happening.
Sure, but the reality is we are. Like, the reason why...
Okay, but you're making the compare. We just made the comparison for the Rams. Yeah, the same thing happens for the Giants. If Matthew Stafford is the quarterback instead of Daniel Jones and Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito, the focus is not on, wow, Joe Shane is fucking atrocious. It's, wow, if Joe Shane just adds like a couple more pieces, then this team could Russell Wilson go all the way.
If they have Russell Wilson, they win, you know,
they do not.
Seven games. You don't think they do win...
Not. No,
Stafford is actively.
Oh, 7 games. No. There's a big difference between 7 games and 10 wins.
My point is that the roster is bad. I don't care what it would be with Matt. First of all, I don't know that you're speaking.
Well, Stafford brings Kupp with him. Number one, that's something we should talk about as well.
Cooper Kupp is borderline done, but
he was still pretty effective when he played last year.
Look, I think the Rams had an elite running game with Kyren Williams. I think they had an elite defensive line. I think they had a bona fide wide receiver one. They got good tight end play. They got great quarterback play.
They have a great scheme.
They have a great coach, and they played in a division that was down for the most part.
Seattle
missed the playoffs at 10-7.
Yeah.
They were 2-4, and they still won that division. The 49ers went to 49ers. The Cardinals didn't take that step. Seattle was what Seattle has been. I just don't think that adding Stafford brought this team closer to a Super Bowl. I think it brought him closer to saving Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job, as Ethan just alluded to, what the perception would be. I think it would have made an unhinged owner very happy, and I think Matthew Stafford would have made himself a lot of money. But at the end of the day, this team would not be closer to the ultimate goal. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Take away the quarterback situation, right? Even if they had drafted a young quarterback last year, the roster is still the roster. It's not good. They have not drafted good players. That's why they're in this situation. It sucks that they're one of the few teams that, even if you plug Stafford in, they're not legitimate contenders in a weak NFC, but that is the reality.
Yes, they are. And I just outlined why. Oh my God. They lost to the Cowboys both games by a combined 12 points. What do you mean you don't care?
Because I don't see you. This is what this is similar to the argument of this is why they should have drafted a quarterback last year.
Where do you rank? Where do you rank Daniel Jones?
It's They had the worst quarterback room in the NFL last year.
The worst. Okay. And you acknowledge that Matthew Stafford is what?
At worst, 10th.
Okay. Also, and he's 37.
And in the NFC.
There's legitimate questions about his body. I think it's far from a guarantee that you can expect him to. Remember, he didn't start the season well. The team dealt with a lot of things. There's a reason why
their entire offensive
line. There's a reason why they discussed moving him at the deadline last year.
Yes, because Cooper Kupp was injured.
It wasn't just because other people were injured.
It was, their wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and four of their five offensive linemen were hurt.
Like I said, I don't think that was the reason why they were having those discussions. There's a legitimate question about his body breaking down. He had shoulder problems. He had some ankle issues. But that's besides the point. He's still worth the risk. The issue is that Matthew Stafford on the Giants with Joe Shane as the general manager and Brian Daboll as the head coach, it makes you a competitive team. It'll be fun to watch. You're maybe a 6 or 7 seed in the NFC. But after 2 years, then what? I don't think they're a Super Bowl team or a contender. I don't think that they would make the NFC championship game. I think they could get to the playoffs, win a playoff game.
I think if you don't think that going from probably the worst quarterback room in the NFL to easily a top 10 and in the NFC alone, a top 3 quarterback makes a difference in a 3-point loss, a 5-point loss, an 8-point loss, a 5-point loss, a 3-point loss, a 7-point loss, another 3-point loss, you're lying to yourself.
Well, we're not redoing last year's schedule. It's a different schedule. It's a better NFC. It's a better NFC.
We think tougher opponents. And we went into last season thinking that the Commanders were going to be absolute dog water. They weren't. Happens every year. You can't count on what the strength of schedule is in the offseason because things change.
Not denying that. Sure.
I'm dealing with uncertainties with what we know of the quality of opponent last year because the season finished out. We saw what happened. We saw how bad the Giants were. Listen, I'm not going to argue and sit here that Matthew Stafford, Giants are a Super Bowl contender. Far from it. They are a playoff team. They are.
I think there's two arguments happening simultaneously. I think a lot of people are just tired of the Giants being dog shit. I think a lot of people would sign up right now to be what the Steelers are, where you get competent quarterback play, you're in every game, you make the playoffs every year, you got a chance, you know you're limited because of certain roster constraints, certain organizational constraints as far as offensive philosophy, whatever. But a lot of us are just tired of losing. And I think that's the big thing, the first part of this argument, because you're right, Weiss. I don't think the Giants win a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford over the next 2 years. I don't think that's a realistic outlook for where this roster is at right now. Of course, things can change. Players can come in, players can go out. You can drop new pieces in, and that might elevate your ceiling a little bit. It might elevate your floor a little bit. But I think in terms of winning a Super Bowl, no. In terms of making the Giants respectable and elevating their play week to week, I think that matters. I think what Ethan had said before about having a stable organization that doesn't feel like it's going from fire to fire and trying to be proactive and making a stable environment, I think that's really important. I think the Giants have been craving stability for so long, and they're looking for it maybe in the wrong place in coach and GM. I think the impact of having someone like a Matthew Stafford who has been successful, who's been on really bad teams and who's been on really good teams, I think that's valuable for a group that is still trying to figure out what it's going to be. And I know we're going to talk about Rodgers in a minute, but I think fundamentally you want to have guys who have that type of experience around a group that we ourselves have called losers, that for the last several years, they have given up at various points. There are effort questions for certain players on this team. And I think you bringing someone like Stafford, who's been on absolutely terrible teams and who's been on really good teams, I think that matters a lot when you're talking about, well, they still need to draft his replacement. They need to draft guys to augment the roster around whoever his eventual replacement would be. I think that's really important. And the Giants don't have that. You know, that's one of the things that gets lost when you don't sign guys to second contracts after you draft them. You want that institutional knowledge. You want guys to bring along the people in their position group. You want that backup quarterback who's been there for a few years to be able to sit there with the third string guy you take. Same thing with the rotational pass rushers, the depth wide receivers, the special teams guys. The Giants are constantly churning over this roster, and there's no position more important than quarterback, and getting stability there is really important. It's why I know we're all on varying points for, you know, Russ, Rodgers, or any of the other project or retread quarterbacks. Even if they take a quarterback second overall, it is essential they get a veteran quarterback to augment them in that quarterback room.
Yeah, listen, this is nothing. Matthew Stafford, Nick, I want you to clip this. Matthew Stafford is a top 10 quarterback. Matthew Stafford is a great quarterback. You plug Matthew Stafford in on 70% of the teams in the NFL, that team is either remains a serious Super Bowl contender or becomes a serious Super Bowl contender. He is a great quarterback, even at age 37. The Rams are a Super Bowl contending team, primarily because they have Matthew Stafford. But there's a whole other element to this, and that's the rest of the roster. The Giants don't have a great roster. That's not Matthew Stafford's fault. Saying, well, if you add Stafford, that makes the Giants a Super Bowl team, it's just not right, and it diminishes, actually, in my opinion, the greatness.
I don't think anyone's arguing that, though. Is anyone arguing they're a Super Bowl team? A playoff team is different.
Tomato, tomato. Makes them a legitimate contending team in the NFC. It just simply doesn't, and it's not Matthew Stafford's fault. Matthew Stafford can go and win a Super Bowl in with the Rams. I think they're a legitimate contending team next year. They have a young ascending roster. They're great at important positions. I think I'm confident Les Snead will figure out their offensive line issues. I think McVay's still one of the best offensive minds of football, best coaches in football. This is a Super Bowl winning head coach with a Super Bowl winning quarterback, with one of the best GMs in the NFL who has built a great young roster. But that does not mean Matthew Stafford is right for the Giants. So that's my take on it. So Stafford might go and the Rams might win the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean, you know, for the Giants, it would have been the same outcome. Saquon thing. Saquon wins a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. That doesn't mean he's going to win a Super Bowl here.
Quarterback is so much more important.
My point is that's not Saquon's fault. I'm not blaming the player. I'm simply pointing out that this team is so bad that great players leave, or if they come, that level of greatness is not the same.
I don't know.
The case for quarterback.
I think quarterback is the most important position in the sport, and I think that's always what we argue. You know,
I'm not disputing that. My thing is that you just because you add a great player, that doesn't mean your results are going to be as great as what they were where he's coming from.
No, no one's saying that. McVay is a fundamentally better coach. Yeah. The infrastructure is a lot better. The roster is a lot better. You know,
Time frame matters too. It's not a 5-year thing with Stafford. It's like, you know what? We can build this thing out in 2-3 years while we're competitive with Stafford. It's a 2-year window max. Maybe you get a third year. I don't know. Right. But
I don't think we know with these old school quarterbacks, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you and your camp just admit that you want to be dog water for the next 2 or 3 years because that's what you're asking for.
Listen,
how many games are they going with Aaron Rodgers?
5, maybe 6.
Okay. And the guy's going to be smoking 40? Ayahuasca, smoking crack at the Taj Mahal.
If you're going into 2025 and your
number one, requirement is to win a lot of games. I think I have some bad news for you because they're not going to win a lot of games in 2025. But I think that when you're dealing with an owner,
Stafford.
Well, I think if you're dealing with far from a guarantee, with I think you're putting a lot of confidence in Joe Shane's ability to build a roster. But anyways. The Giants' goal now, to me, has to be they're adamant about adding a veteran quarterback, right? Like that, a starting caliber quarterback. To me, it's how much can you keep it where it doesn't impact your future years? And I know the cap, the situation, and I don't want Russell Wilson $30 million a year for 3 years. I don't want Sam Darnold, $35 million, $40 million a year. I wasn't in favor of trading for Matthew Stafford and paying him $50 million a year. The reason why I've always said I'd much rather prefer Aaron Rodgers, not because I think he's a better quarterback than those guys, but because I think it's a low-risk, high-reward move. Aaron Rodgers comes in here. Listen, Aaron Rodgers comes in here on a one-year deal.
What is the high reward? I agree with you that it's low risk. I see average reward.
I think the high reward is, you just mentioned all these close games, a guy on a one-year deal.
But Rodgers isn't winning those games. That's the thing. Like, the numbers
With the Jets, he did exit the field, I think, 5 or 6 times and gave his defense the lead in the fourth quarter, and they blew it.
Okay. I want to do this argument now because I think it's important. If you look at just the counting stats, Rodgers had a fine season.
He had a fine year. 3,800 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Yeah, I know
the paper.
When you look at the efficiency, he was dog shit. When you look at the time to throw, he held onto the ball way too long. He got himself killed. He played hurt a majority of last season because he was too fucking stubborn to take himself out of the game knowing he was hurt because it was about him. And adding a guy like that to a team of guys who are outright losers is only going to further embolden bad behavior. That's the reason I'd much rather you do the Russell Wilson thing, the Justin Fields thing. If you want to go get a veteran quarterback, I have no problem with that. But adding a guy who has shown no discernible ability to lead to a team of devoid entirely of leadership, I think is only asking for issues. You know, we spent the last year and a half making fun of the Jets for thinking this was going to work out for them. And we're doing the same desperate shit they did.
It's not the same.
It's fundamentally the same thing. The Giants are desperate for credibility. They want to be taken seriously so unbelievably bad that we got used to drive up Matt Stafford's price to stay where he was without any real intent of him ever leaving. We're going to end up being a bidding war piece for at least one of these other quarterbacks, whether it's Rodgers, Russell Wilson, even Sam Darnold, using the Giants to drive up their own price. And then you're still adding a guy who wasn't very good on a more talented roster. You know, the Jets have a much better roster. And look, I know the Jets' results weren't great last year. They still got Brees. They've got 2 first-round picks on that offensive line. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Devontae Adams. All the talent on that defense. The Giants are a lot worse than that. And Aaron Rodgers only won, you know, what, 5 games, 6 games with the Jets last year. I just don't see a world where this works out beyond that. You know, great, they won 6 games and you're not in a position to draft Arch Manning or whichever of the quarterbacks you like next year.
This is why, like, again, Nick, this is exactly my point earlier.
So what do you guys want out of 20? Listen, look at the,
I want to be, just admit that you want them to suck. Like that's really it.
Their goal is not to build this roster. It's not
their goal is to not rebuild. Get fired.
Rebuilding that.
Nick said it. Their goal is respectectability. That's why they were targeting a future Hall of Fame.
Yes. Rebuilding is no longer in the picture. They are not rebuilding. This is not a rebuilding.
Even though they have like 3 good players, they're not rebuilding.
Forget about what they should be doing. They're not doing what they should be doing. So if I know that this is going to end badly, I'm sorry for wanting the landing to not be as fucking horrible as it would be if they were to trade draft picks for a 37-year-old quarterback or pay Sam Darnold, you know, $35, $40 million.
The landing is much more rough if Aaron Rodgers wins you 6 or 7 games than it would be if you traded for Matt Stafford.
Not really, because I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that can win you. First of all, you just said that Aaron Rodgers won how many games last year? 6 games?
5 or 6, I think.
5 or 6. Aaron Rodgers comes in here. Number one, doesn't hinder your options in terms of drafting a quarterback. It gives you a starting caliber quarterback that's 41 years old that probably nobody else wants, and he just probably wants to stay in the area. The notion that he is going to play all 17 or 18 games while you're a 4, 5, 6 win team, it's just not realistic. Right. It's not going
to
happen.
He forced himself to stay in games for the Jets last year when they were when he was injured to hell.
He's not hijacking the Giants like he did the Jets. Ugh. No, he's not.
Come on. It's not.
You guys, this is not the same situation with the Jets. This isn't
John, I'll tell you the only difference with the only difference with the Jets is that when the Jets traded for him, they had Super Bowl aspirations.
When the Jets traded for him, the Giants were not trading for him.
Okay, that's okay. When the Jets acquired him, they had Super Bowl aspirations.
When the Jets traded for him, when they flew down there and they practically begged them, and then on top of that, they went and traded for him and then brought in his offensive coordinator and then brought in all these other players that he liked. That's not the same here. Yeah, he'll probably bring Davante Adams with him, but that's not hindering anything. This is not, this is a quarterback on his last legs who knows that his pull with teams is not the same. Nobody's banging his door to sign him. He's going to sign with a 3-win Giant team if he does, primarily because he just wants to stay in the New Jersey area. He bought a house in Montclair, right? Nick, you got an invite to one of his parties. He just
did shout out Montclair. That's
all this is. It's a 41-year-old quarterback on the
back. I feel like I'm in the scene in Moneyball where yeah. Billy Beane's talking to David that's Justice. It. I want the last good bit of baseball that's in you, and you get to stay playing baseball. That's all this is.
And I think it keeps the door open for the Giants to move up and move up or take a quarterback at 3, which I think what their goal is.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think they want to draft a quarterback in this draft?
And not in the first round.
Really?
I'll tell you, the same person who told me a couple days ago that they would, and this is before Diana Russini reported it today, that the Giants were in contact with Rodgers. That same person told me that the backup plan for Stafford was Rodgers and that they are going to be looking for a quarterback in round 2 or 3.
Even better, because now
I agree.
You have a head coach and a quarterback that are, a general manager, a head coach, and a quarterback basically on their last leg. And you're not allocating any future resources to any young quarterback who you're going to hinder his development, regardless of what you guys think about him. And then at the end of the season, depending on where you are, you can just start over. So again, I just want to soft
landing. That's fine, but if they're starting over, just be dog shit.
Well, I guess. I mean, I just want a soft landing. That's all I want.
No, you don't. You want the hardest landing possible, because the hardest landing possible
then I would
gets
want
Matt Joe Shane fired. It gets Brian Daboll fired, and we're starting over.
Listen, Weiss is demanding they let him fly the plane and crash it himself.
If this roster was good enough where I could be like, you know what, adding that quarterback puts you over there, I would be pounding the table for it. But it doesn't. And the operation right now is not operation build this roster, add good players, which it should be. It's the quarterback position. We need to make sure we have a starter that can win us games next year. And then we got to make sure we can extend our, you know, 10-year by either that veteran quarterback winning us games or telling the owner that we got a young quarterback waiting in the wings. Again, it's just putting lipstick on a pig. And what's the rest of that saying?
I think that's it.
That's it. Yeah, lipstick on a pig.
That's the idiom.
I made the comparison. These are all shit sandwiches. It's just a matter of which one you have to eat. None of these quarterbacks are going to make the
Giants. What's the South Park episode? Turd sandwich or a bloody tampon? What was it?
Something like that. Yeah, shit sandwich, bloody tampon. No quarterback you're getting in free agency or in a trade is dramatically altering the trajectory of this team. Even if noted Jose Reyes fan Kyler Murray dropped in, that's not really changing
the trajectory. So sick.
It would make the Giants fun. And at this point, I would kind of just settle for the Giants to be fun because I know
Kyler Murray is very underappreciated.
I think Kyler's fine. I would very gladly take Kyler Murray as the quarterback of my football team. He'd be worlds better than what they have and what they could have. But until you get the disgruntled quarterback, and have any of the disgruntled quarterback situations actually worked out? Now that we think about it, all the relocations and guys who have gone from point A to point B, can you think of any, Brady kind of the only one in recent memory that's really worked? Because Stafford wasn't disgruntled. The Lions asked to trade him and he was like, yeah, that's okay, I'll do that. Rodgers, same deal. I don't know. I it really does feel like unless you draft one of these guys, you're kind of stuck until you get one. It really is that straightforward. And no one's going to get rid of a good one if they can help it. They'll do whatever they can. We'll see what happens with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. But I think Burrow is firmly entrenched there. I think same deal with Allen up in Buffalo. It's this sucks. Having no quarterback is miserable.
Why don't you just draft one and hope it can work out?
Yeah, well, that's what they pay Joe Shane for. So not me.
Joe Shane's son for that, not Joe Shane.
Yeah.
Joe Shane's son was indeed correct.
Yeah.
You only get one chance.
You know who's also correct? Me. Said Jaden Daniels could be the best quarterback in this class.
And now he's not. Well, if we're taking victory laps, I do want to say that I correctly, my order of the quarterbacks was exactly what the NFL thought. Because they went exactly in the order that had them ranked.
There you go. I didn't really give a shit after the top three.
Yeah, because then I knew we were fucked.
Some people forget that I was actually okay with drafting Michael Penix sixth overall.
Yeah, I still don't understand why people are taking victory laps about that.
He played, three games, four games?
He was insanely inaccurate.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
I think he'll be okay. I don't think he's anything special, but I think he's better than what you got. Same thing. I don't think Bo Nix works. I think I'm glad people are starting to realize that was like a hyper Sean McVay experiment that worked out very well. That would not
work. It could work. It could work. He could be a league average quarterback.
Not with the Giants.
I think, I know I'm talking in terms of like.
Yeah, no, Nix is fine. For what Sean McVay wants to do, he works. For what Sean McVay wants to do,
Sean Payton's fine.
Sean Payton. Listen,
you can't deny the result. You went to the playoffs as a rookie.
Yeah, he was solid. Had a
good season. Was he perfect? No.
No.
But to say, like, if you're doubting that he can't be a league average quarterback, then I think you're setting yourself up to, you know.
Well, again.
Is he ever going to be a top five, top 10 quarterback?
I think that there's just a lot of bad quarterback play, and it's not hard to be amongst the average.
I mean, he's a rookie, went to the playoffs.
I think we saw his ceiling very early. We'll see. We'll see this season. This is why we stake claims. This is why we give takes. See how they age.
Like Penix, man. I think even though the inaccuracy, I think he can sling that thing.
All right. What are we talking about next?
The draft smokescreen stuff, if they're going to trade up or not.
I don't think they're trading up.
It would be very stupid to trade up. I think no matter what, you're getting one of the two quarterbacks at three. I think no matter what.
I think so, too.
I think Carter's going one. I think Carter's going one. So
I think the New York Giants would be drafting Travis Hunter.
I would love that.
That is what I'm putting out there right now.
I think they are going to be drafting a quarterback.
If Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter is there at three and they don't take one, I will be viscerally angry. Like genuinely viscerally angry.
As will I. And again, he's done a lot of bad and a lot of stupid, but Joe Shane has been quite good about draft smoke screens. And I just think that the fact that everyone seems to know that it's Shador, a guy who lacks any ounce of athleticism that Brian Daboll likes in a quarterback and Joe Shane likes in a quarterback. I find it very hard to believe he's the pick at three. I'm just my opinion. So that's that. All right. What else we got? Or are we wrapping?
I think that I was on. I was pretty certain that Shador's was their quarterback one, but I think that has sort of changed.
No, it's Ken.
And I think that if they find a way to get to one, which by the way, if it only cost them 2/3, I think that's worth it. Someone who's been reluctant to kind of move up in the draft, 2 third-round picks to get a quarterback that you deem to be worthy, I think that's worth it. But I also think that if the Raiders sign Sam Darnold, who's trading up that you have to
smokescreen? Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because that's a fair point. You know, it kind of feels like that's out there because the Titans are trying to drum up the price. But like, who's going up for one of these guys? Yeah. Neither of these guys. Like, what did the Rams give up to trade up for Goff? Like a one, a two. It was a couple draft picks. And like, Goff was better than either of these guys in college. And like, in hindsight, I don't think you would do that again if you were the Rams. I don't think you would burn those assets to go up and get him.
I want to compare it to the, remember the Bears and the Niners trade? when the Bears took Trubisky, they moved up.
Yeah.
So the Bears traded a third, a fourth, and a third the following year to go from 3 to 2 and get Trubisky. And I think the 49ers went to 3 and got Solomon Thomas. I think that's what they got. I think it could be something like that. I think the 34th pick is very, very valuable. I think
absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's a very valuable pick. 2/3, I think, to get to 1. But sitting here now, I think they'll add a veteran.
I just don't think that Joe Shane is going balls to the wall to get Matthew Stafford if his backup plan is to trade up to number 1. Like, it's just it doesn't make sense.
His plan is to save his job. So if you're trying to save your job, you go get the best available starting quarterback that could be available. Preface that. If he doesn't become available, then the next step is, okay, let me try to go get a young quarterback and sell this idea of this young quarterback being the one that is a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and we're going to develop him, and we need multi-years to develop.
I don't think that's going to save his job if they win 4 games again.
Maybe. That's why you go and you bring in Rodgers as well, so he can win you 5 or 6.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't – again, it's just – I don't think that they'll even need to trade up.
I don't think so either. I 100% agree with you. I don't think they will need to trade up, but that's also part of the selling thing is we're adamant this is the guy that we're going to trade up and kind of lock them more into their job than I think it should be. But this is why you fire him at the end of the year and start over. So you're not having these Hail Marys being thrown up.
Yep. All right. Should we wrap?
Sure.
All right. That's it. This is the end of the narrative. Follow us on Twitter, subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.